Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown.
Dream a dream, and what you see will be rhymes that keep their secrets will unfold behind the clouds, and there upon the rainbow is the answer to our never-ending story. Whoa, 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 whoa. Stories, movies, television, they never end because the writers never stop writing. It's the writers that provide the foundation for film and television. It's their ideas that conceptualize into words. They conceptualize the ideas into words. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very, very special guest on the show today. She is not only a writer, she is a storyteller. She is a never-ending storyteller, and she's up and coming in Los Angeles from New York. Please put your hands together right now. Make some noise for Wanda Withers. Wanda, are you on the line, and how you doing?
Hi, I'm here. Thanks for having me, Motown. I appreciate being here.
Oh, thank you for being on the show. I'm really excited to have you. But first and foremost, I do want to apologize to you because I know by having you on the show, I've more than likely interrupted you from your scientific form of creative writing. Is that not correct? I'm probably did interrupt you because I know you as a writer.
You did. Got
like this method and a method of madness, and I probably interrupted it. So I apologize.
No problem. I made some adjustments to my plans for today, my evil plans. So it's quite all right.
Let's talk about those evil plans. I mean, you're a writer and you're from New York, and we're going to let the audience know about your transitions in a moment, but you love writing. You can't see yourself doing anything else but writing. But writers have been known to be a little introverted, weird at times, to themselves. What would you say? Would you say that's the case, and why is that the case, and what are your methods for creating?
Well, I think sometimes writers do have to isolate themselves and kind of stay in a bubble because it takes a lot of time and concentration to get the right words to paint the picture of what's in your head. So you do have to spend a lot of time by yourself, but we're not that crazy. I do have certain things that I do that help me write. I definitely have a playlist that I have to play. I have my special headphones I have to put on. I wear a hoodie when I write. That just makes me feel more comfortable. I always have coffee or tea and some sort of snack around. Right now, my snack of choice is peanuts. That just keeps the energy level high. And for me, I always like to start with good old-fashioned pen and paper. And then after I feel comfortable about what I've scribbled down, then I move to the computer. So that's basically my formula for getting the writing started.
Oh, wow. Your formula sounds awfully suspicious, if you ask me. So it has to be like, I have to have decaf coffee. I have to have this hoodie on. If you don't have those things, is it like wrong and you just can't do it?
Well, it's not about having those things. Those things are actually triggers. It's the hoodie, the coffee, the playlist are triggers to my mind to say, now it's time to write. Now it's time to focus, and now it's time to get this idea down on paper. So it's not that I need those things, but those things help my mind focus at the task at hand for the day.
Mm. All right. Okay. If that's the method to your madness, I mean, if I didn't know better, I would be thinking you're plotting the assassination of someone very important. But
well, it's all about discipline. And, you know, it's all about discipline. And good serial killers have discipline.
What? You're giving away too much right there. Oh, no. That's funny. That's funny. That is so true, though. You know, whether you're a writer or a serial killer, you got to have some type of method of madness. And it just so happens that your methods are parallel to a serial killer. But we're going to move on from that. We're going to move on from that and act like we never talked about it. But you're from New York and you're new to L.A. How has that experience been for you? And why did you come to L.A. when you came from the Big Apple?
Well, I spent almost 10 years. I was about 9 years in New York right after college. I went to Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida.
Rattlers.
Yeah, on the highest of seven hills.
Right.
And I left on Saturday, and I was in New York on Monday because I just knew from the time I was a young girl that I wanted to live in New York. I wanted to be a New Yorker. And for me, the transition was a long time coming. I fought the idea of leaving New York for L.A. for many years. But when I looked at my career and where I wanted to go, being a television writer was something that was very important to me. I couldn't see that happening in New York. I had to make the move to Los Angeles. So the last year has just been a year of changes for me. The first thing was actually today marks the one-year anniversary of leaving my job in New York at Nickelodeon. So I left that job, and then in about March or April, I think it was actually it was probably May, I left New York, and I went to Houston for about 3 months for the summer with my family, and I finally packed up my bags and came to Los Angeles. And it's been much easier than I thought. I thought it was going to be really difficult. I thought I was going to be incredibly lonely in the corner, crying, upset, mad at the world about living in Los Angeles. I did. I thought it was going to be really bad because I heard so many horror stories of New Yorkers who left New York, came to L.A., hated it to death, loathed the experience, and then moved back to New York. So I thought that is what I was in store for. I heard it was like a hard place to date. It was a hard place to make friends. I just heard all these bad things. But I got here, and I've been here now for about 2 months, and it hasn't been that bad. I actually am enjoying my time here in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah, it surprised me.
Wow. Those people that left probably don't have a method quite as, you know, unique as yours. You know, you got to have the hoodie, and it's probably your playlist that keep you going this long, right?
Well, I think what it was, and that there were certain things I did right when I moved out here. I thought about it in retrospect. I was having coffee with a friend in West Hollywood. I was having a typical L.A. moment, and I thought about all of the things I did right in making this transition, and I came up with about 10 things, and that inspired the latest blog on my website written by Wanda.com, how to live in L.A., after you've lived in New York. And
So you have a list of 10 things. Can you share it with us here on the show?
Of course, because I know there are a lot of people out there who are in the same position I was in about, you know, 3 months ago. They were wondering, can I survive? Can I be happy in Los Angeles after living in New York for so long? And it's possible. There are 10 things that I think I did right that I'm sure if anyone else does at least one of them, it'll make their experience better. The first one was move with motivation. Be clear about why you're moving to Los Angeles and make that your focus. Don't move for the beach. don't move for the weather. Move here because you have some goal, some benchmark you want to reach in your career, and that's going to keep you focused when you're stuck on the 405 or you experience your first earthquake. So that's like number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is take a few tester trips. I don't suggest moving out here cold turkey. It's going to be too much of a shock for you. So come out here a few times, make some connections, build a network. It'll make your eventual relocation that much easier. The third one is take a break in between cities. Now, everyone doesn't have to take the summer off like I did. I went home to Texas and just kind of relaxed. But the good thing about it was I got used to driving again. I never got rid of my driver's license in New York, but I rarely drove. So being in Houston allowed me to become comfortable driving again. Essentially, it's like taking a sip of water in between glasses of wine. It kind of just cleanses your palate, and you can really start afresh. The fourth one is look for the right neighborhood, not your old neighborhood. Because you're not going to find your own neighborhood. It's not here. Even if people tell you, oh, Los Feliz is like Brooklyn. Or no, it's not. Just don't listen to them. Just look for the best neighborhood for you. For me, it was parking. I'm not used to searching for parking, so I needed a place with decent parking. And I needed a place with late-night eateries around because I'm used to leaving the house at 10 and expecting someplace to be open to eat. So that was important to me. That's where I ended up moving, in an area like that.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth one is kind of tricky. It's be the New Yorker. So you basically have to find a balance. You have to do as the Angelenos do when you're here, but don't lose the essence of being a New Yorker, because people from L.A. may not say it, but they think New Yorkers are cool. You know, we know fashion. We go to the theater. We survive crazy winter. So just do you and be the New Yorker that you are. You probably won't even be good at being Hollywood, but the key is actually the next two steps if you're going to be the New Yorker. Number six, keep the references and comparisons to a minimum. You don't want to be the New Yorker that is always saying, oh, in New York we do this. Oh, and back in Brooklyn we did this. Oh, I love this in Manhattan. I hate this about LA. People will tolerate you for a couple of days, and then after a while they'll be sick of you. So don't do that. And then number seven, you know, may sound like blasphemy to my friends in New York, but this is very true and very important. You have to respect Los Angeles, respect L.A. It is the home of Hollywood. It is the entertainment capital of the world. That's no small enchilada, okay? Earthquakes, car chases, mudslides, celebrity trials, the city has endured it all. So the way I look at it, if all the big cities in the world got together and had lunch in a high school cafeteria, Los Angeles would have its own table, you know, right next to London or Paris or and New York. So, you know, the skin out here on people may be really waxed and really tanned, but it's still tough. So respect LA. Number eight is find an underground artist scene. You know, go to a place that's not on, you know, Sunset, not on Melrose, not on Third, a little piano bar in Santa Monica that I found was really nice, or a place downtown where some people, you know, tend not to hang out. Just find some place out of the norm and kind of off the radar, because for New Yorkers, that'll be really good to balance you out and make you feel like you're not trapped in Hollywood. Number nine is drive. It's really simple. Just imagine living in New York and never getting on the subway. You could never adjust. You could never really enjoy what it means to live in New York. It's the same thing with Los Angeles. You can't really enjoy and understand what it is to be a resident of Los Angeles if you don't drive. You've got to get a feel for the city from the perspective of a driver. And the last one is tell yourself it's just for a year. You know, I don't condone lying to yourself or downplaying what your goals are, but at the same time, sometimes the idea of forever will freak you out. For me, when I thought about coming out here for work, it was fun. But when I thought about moving out here forever for the rest of my life, I literally burst into hives on my arm. The thought scared me to death. But once I told myself, you know what, just go out there for a year. See how it is. get a feel for it, make it work for a year, and then reevaluate. It calmed me down. It was like a psychological relief. It was very helpful. So those are my 10 steps. I guarantee if you do at least one of them, it'll make your transition that much easier.
And I love it. I love it. But if I can I add a number 11 maybe? Can I add a number 11? Is that I'm just saying, I mean,
well,
everything you have was good.
I don't know. Let's hear it first. Let's hear your number
okay.
11, please.
Number 11, think like a serial killer. I think that
okay.
will help.
Okay, yeah. That may, we have to submit that to, like, research first before we can add that to us.
Oh, okay, let's
but,
do
you know,
that.
But, you know, I do have one that I would add specifically for women who are moving
okay.
out here. I didn't put it on the list because the list is for everyone. But if I could add something to the list just for women,
mm-hmm.
it would be start dating online.
Really?
Yeah, because one of the horror stories you hear about moving to Los Angeles is that
uh-huh.
it's a hard place to meet a guy. It's a hard place to date.
Uh-huh.
I've had 3 dates since I've been out here, and I'm told that that's a pretty good track record.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm cute, but, you know, I don't think I'm Halle Berry or Beyonce by any notion. But I think the key is that when you come out here, you just don't want to be a little bit too eager for anything because you make poor decisions when you do that. When you date online, you kind of give yourself a safety net. So when you go to the bar at the W or a party at the Standard or hang out with friends at the Room, one sense, wherever, you don't feel like, oh, I got to meet somebody tonight because if I don't, I'm going to be a lonely old woman forever writing in my studio apartment. You won't be that desperate because you know you have, like, matches online that are waiting for you. So, you know, join Match.com, eHarmony, whatever, and when you go out, you'll have a genuine good time. And if you meet someone, it's icing on the cake. And a lot of times when you go out and you're not looking to meet anyone, that's actually when you meet someone great.
That's when you meet someone great. Okay. You got the tips for someone who wants to come to L.A. and they can also relate parallel to a serial killer. I think a serial killer will also go online to look for folks. But, hey, we're going to move on from that. But, no, I really like those suggestions. The only one that I would somewhat debate, now, the transportation here is definitely not as good as New York. I get around pretty good with the transportation in L.A., but the reason I like the transportation is because you can just capture so many personality traits from the people around you. There are so many interesting characters everywhere you go. It is unbelievable. Have you even had a chance to use the public transportation here?
No, I'm actually thinking about it. I was thinking about taking a bus ride or a train ride or something. I agree with you to a certain extent because definitely I know on the B38 in Brooklyn, on my way home every day, I would meet a wonderful cast of characters, the most talented homeless people in the world are on New York's public transportation system.
I'm sorry. I think L.A.'s got them beat. They got some shit.
I would definitely argue with you. I mean, I'm actually volunteering tomorrow at Downtown Women's Center, and I'm sure I'm going to meet some wonderful people who have just, you know, been hit hard by life, and I look forward to sharing what I can with them. But I think the people in New York are just, they're so very talented. But I agree with you. You can meet a lot of great people. You can get another essence of the city when you do public transportation. So I agree with you in that respect.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you have the opportunity to drive, you should just go ahead and do it. It gives you another perspective of the city.
Yep. Now, I'm not much of a writer compared to you, but I got ideas. So what we'll probably have to come up with one of these days is like a coast-to-coast homeless showdown. I think that would work. Something like that, you know, we find the most talented
that
homeless from the
floor. That sounds like a very bad reality show.
But it will get rated. It's all about rating.
So what happens?
Rating.
So And the, depending on which, you know, and then the homeless people, like, win a house or something.
Exactly.
That sounds really sketchy. That sounds really sketchy. I'm all for helping people who have been hit hard by life, but that sounds very sketchy.
Hey, look at that guy, the Golden Voice guy. Remember that guy that was doing the, who's like a radio announcer right now, and he was homeless? I'm telling you. What was he from?
Yeah,
he probably
was, and you know, and that's a beautiful story. That's a very beautiful story.
Exactly, we can take a story just like that because these homeless, most of the homeless in L.A. are people who used to pursue their acting career but gave up down the line. That's all they are. So I'm telling you, we're gonna talk about this off the air. We're gonna package this. We're gonna package this. We're gonna recover some homeless people and get some good. Take reality television to another dimension. All right? I'm right.
Another dimension is right.
All right. So get your hoodie, get your little sticky pad, and start brainstorming. Go to your cafe with your decaf and your playlist. We got something to work on. You feel me? I'm going to convince you later. All right? You're hard. So... You mentioned this the list, which is really great. Thank you for sharing that. How to Live in Los Angeles After in New York. Thank you so much. And you mentioned that it's on your blog. How important is your blog to you, and would you say it's a tool for you getting to where you need to be in your writing career?
Definitely. The internet has allowed so many people to share their work without having to go through gatekeepers. And a lot of times as a writer, we write, you know, like I said, by ourselves, and sometimes we are in a bubble. And in the moment, you might think your work is good, but my English teacher always taught me that writing is rewriting, and it's good to have another eye look at your work so that when you go back and rewrite, you have an additional perspective. And the internet allows me to share my work with people far and wide, and I get great feedback. If I have a typo, they're like, how could you miss this? Well, you know, I've been looking at it like 500 times. That's why I missed it. you know, they'll make a great point and say this part was good, this part was weak. So it's good for feedback. And it's also good to just let people know what your skill set is, because if you're a writer, you're writing, and you really don't have to. The good thing about writing is that you don't have to wait for anyone to give you an opportunity. I mean, to get paid, you do. But it's not like with an actor, you have to, you know, get on set, and there are all these other things that have to happen before you share your craft. Writing is a lot like music. You can just put it out there and share it with the world. And so my blog is very important to me because right now it's the primary outlet I have to share my skills.
No, having a blog and being a writer, and you've mentioned before that you have to have people that you can trust to view your work, it takes a very strong element of confidence and trust to do that, because aren't you ever concerned that somebody's going to, you know, infringe on your work and use it? Because it's out there open to the world.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of trust, and then there's a little bit of smarts you just have to add to it. My golden idea, no, that's not on my blog. You will not find it online. I'm not tweeting out my precious baby of an idea that I think is going to take my career to a next level. No, I'm not sharing that online.
You can text it to me later on. I'll check it out.
We'll see about that.
Okay.
And then in another respect, there is like a camaraderie and a fellowship of the writers when you're working with someone and they're in the business and they understand how valuable your idea is and you understand how valuable their ideas are. There's a trust that goes on among writers, and sometimes you say it, sometimes you don't, but you understand that, hey, I'm not ready to share this work with anyone outside of this group. Please don't share it, or I'm sharing this with you so that you can give me feedback. I'm not ready for you, or I don't desire for you to share it with anyone else. So I think there is a trust that happens. And then you kind of just got to have faith and say, I like this person, I value their idea, and, you know, I pray that, you know, this idea won't be stolen from me.
Yes. So how do you exercise your ideas? How do you keep them going? Do you ever get writer's block? And how do you just keep it flowing? Do you ever have any problems in your writing process?
That hasn't been a challenge for me yet, knock on wood. I hope it never is. But for me, I think what you have to do is you have to be careful about what your downtime is and make sure that you don't burn yourself out when you are working. Like, you just have to become very aware of how you spend your time. I do a lot of other creative things outside of writing, and I think that gives my brain a break. I just started learning the guitar. I take dance lessons if I can. Last week I took a belly dancing class. It was very fun.
Nice.
So I think that the good thing is for writers to just be aware of what keeps their creative juices flowing. And for me, it's doing other creative things. I also like to explore. So since I've just moved to Los Angeles, I try to go someplace completely new and different by myself. Every weekend. It's kind of like an artist date. I don't know if you've ever read the book The Artist's Way by Julie Cameron, I think. And she talks about having time for yourself on a regular basis to just do something for the artist in you. And for me, it's exploring. So I went to a Griffith Park by myself. I go to a museum by myself. And the whole idea is I just like to explore and discover. And those things that I do in my downtime make it much easier to write at the computer when it's time to write.
Wow. So very valuable information. Thank you for sharing that very valuable information. At this moment, I want you to take this time out and share your websites and how people can find you and how can they read some of your wonderful material. Please share.
Sure. Well, you can find my online portfolio at writtenbywanda.com. That's the normal spelling of Wanda, W-A-N-D-A. That's where you'll find some web series scripts, some short story scripts, some regular short stories, and any editorial articles like How to Live in Los Angeles After You've Lived in New York. You can follow me on Twitter at W Squared. That's because my name is Wanda Withers. A friend of mine started calling me W. So, but I'm W to the second power, which is W squared. So it's DUBYASQUARED at W squared is where I am on Twitter. And you can also find me on Tumblr, wandawithers.tumblr.com. That's where I share a lot of quotes about being creative. I also share and preview a lot of my writing on Tumblr and a lot of other sites that I follow from other artists. That's really like my artist blog. So that's basically where you can keep up with me if you ever want to contact me for any type of writing opportunity or a writing partnership. You can email me at wandawithers@gmail.com, and that's wandawithers@gmail.com, and that's okay. Where I am online.
That's what I'm talking about, but whoever chooses to contact you, just make sure that they know that we're working on our Coast to Coast Homeless Showdown first.
Okay.
All right? Because that's very important. It's going to be a hit. Nobody try to take our idea. Wanda, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to be following your blog and everything that you do. Please keep me posted because the whole writing process is extremely amazing to me, and how you create and your madness and whatever that you do to do it, but you do it. You do it and you get it done. You know, I love it. So thank you for sharing, and I look forward to you being successful and writing a full feature movie about me in the near future. What do you think?
Okay.
That sounds profitable.
It sounds like a plan.
And it all starts with a plan. That's what I'm talking about. Whether you're a writer, storyteller, or a serial killer, it starts with a plan.
So
I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to hold you any longer, but I do have one more question to ask you. Can you handle one more question, please?
Yes, sir.
Who is the future of late-night television?
That would be Motown Maurice.
Oh! That is what I'm talking about. Wanda, you are the greatest. Thank you very much for being on the show. I look forward to hooking up with you in the future. Keep on doing what you're doing, all right?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Have a good Friday.
Thank you. Same to you. On today's date, which is 11-11-11, what a special date that I will always remember. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Wanda Wizard, the up-and-coming writer in Los Angeles, California. She provided you tips, and she shares the method of her madness. Note the similarities between the madness and you know what, but she gets it done. She gets it done. Thank you for being on the show, Wanda. This is Motown Maurice. Make sure you follow my blog at MotownMaurice.com, the quest of a late-night talk show host. That's MotownMaurice.com. Make sure you enjoy today, 11-11-11. God bless, be blessed, peace and blessings as the quest continues the future of late night.